bed, barely, and fell on top of it in a heap.
Whew.
You sure you're all right?
Just a little tired.
As he closed his eyes, he wondered why she was doing the buttons on her blouse back up. And as he spiraled down into what felt was going to be a long, deep sleep, he thought it curious that although they were going to spend the night together, he didn't even know her name. Mark awoke feeling like he'd been hit over the head with a tire iron.
Oh man.
Except the pain was mostly coming from the inside of his skull rather than the outside.
What the...
He had trouble remembering what had happened the night before, but as he lay back on the bed and closed his eyes, bits and pieces of the previous night's events began coming back to him. He'd gone to dinner and met a woman. Yeah, now it was coming back to him. He'd met a woman and she'd come back to his room to spend the night. She'd brought some wine with her. He had a drink, and then he'd fallen asleep. He wondered, no, hoped he had awakened at some point in the night, but that didn't seem likely. He was still lying on top of the bed, on top of the cover, with his clothes still on. He hoped she might be in the bathroom.
Hello?
No answer. He looked over at the clock. It was just after 6 in the morning, time to be going anyway. He sat up on the bed too quickly, and bright spikes of pain flashed behind his eyes. Mark had a feeling it was going to be a long, hard day. He had a quick breakfast, did his circle check, and checked out. No charge, and was on the road before 7. The rig seemed to handle a little different now. Not heavier or lighter, just different. He attributed it to his headache, which had now settled down to a dull throb that would likely be pounding his brain for the rest of the day. He only wished he could say she'd been worth it, but he couldn't remember. When he came up on the weigh scales west of Calgary, he saw the flashing light calling him in to be weighed. He came to a stop on the scale and waited. He expected he would be given the green light, especially since both tractor and trailer looked neat, and electronic goods weren't likely to lead to a gross weight violation. But then the yellow light flashed, and an inspector in the kiosk jabbed his thumb toward the compound for a closer inspection.
Oh, damn it.
This could take an hour by the time they combed over every inch of the rig, even though he knew there was nothing wrong. He pulled to a stop on one of the pads outlined on the asphalt, hopped out of his cab, and waited for the enforcement officer to come out to meet him. The door of his kiosk popped open almost immediately, and the officer strolled across the compound toward him, making some notes on his clipboard.
What's the problem?
You've got an axle weight violation. That's over 1,000 kilos at the rear.
How much?
1,000 kilos.
No way. I've just got some electronics equipment in there, light stuff.
Let's have a look.
Mark fished inside his pocket for the key to the trailer. He found it and unlocked the padlock. He began pulling the doors, and all he could see was the officer shaking his head. Mark secured the door at the side of the trailer.
What is it?
I'm afraid somebody's been jerking your chain. Those don't much look like electronic equipment to me.
Mark came around to the back of the trailer and felt his jaw drop and his stomach turn. While the boxes near the nose of the trailer had been left untouched, the boxes that had been piled up at the back were all gone, and in their place were two sloppy piles of cinder blocks sitting right over the rear axles.
Well, at least it won't be too hard to even out the load.
He handed Mark a tape measure so he could help measure the axles to confirm the spread for his weight category.
Like I thought, move those blocks around some and you should be all right.
Yeah, thanks.
His mind busily recounted the series of events that led up to this point. One by one, he put the smaller pieces together until he was able to get a good look at the big picture. They'd put all of the expensive equipment in boxes at the back of the trailer so they could be easily unloaded by anyone. The shipper had asked him what route he'd be taking, then gave him a coupon for a free night's stay at the Budget Motoring Inn to make sure he'd be there last night. The trucks parked around his rig had been there to block his view and to cart away the goods. And if he got suspicious, there was a pretty woman to distract him. And then she drugged him just to make sure that he'd be out all night long and wouldn't feel the urge to take a midnight stroll to go check on his rig. And on top of all that, they'd given him a key so he'd be the first person the cops would like for the job. They couldn't have played him any better than if he had strings. The gate receipts for the Saskatoon show must have been pretty bad. Maybe the numbers for the show had been bad all across the country. So they figured they'd steal the goods, make an insurance claim, and recoup some of what they'd lost on the show. Fine. Except they'd used Mark Dalton as their stooge. Maybe they wouldn't just try to finger him for the theft, but would put in a claim on his insurance policy as well as their own. That would send his premiums through the roof. Mark seethed silently in anger, waiting for the officer to hand him his violation and head back to the kiosk. When he was gone, Mark hopped back into the trailer and began moving the blocks around, cursing at each block as if it were to blame for all his problems. And then one slipped from his fingers and landed squarely on his toes. He didn't know what made him more angry. His sore toe, the shipper and Dynamax for pulling the stunt on him, or himself for falling for it like a stone. No, like a cinder block. Well, they almost got away with it. Almost. When he'd finished rearranging the load about an hour later, he limped back to his cab and went through the scales again, this time getting the green light. Then he pulled over onto the shoulder on the exit to the highway. Next, he got out his cell phone and dialed the number on the card the shipper, Bradley J. Proctor, had given him. There was no answer. He tried again an hour later, still no answer. He tried once more late in the afternoon, and this time got an answer.
Hello?
Bradley J. Proctor?
Yes?
This is Mark Dalton. I'm driving a load for you from Saskatoon to Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. I hope everything's all right.
Well, I do have a problem.
Yes?
I'm at the scales outside of Calgary, and I'm overweight. Hello? Are you still there?
You're overweight?
That's right. I've got a gross weight violation, and I can't get back on the road until I unload some freight.
You're overweight?
Yeah. Are you going to send another trailer to take some of my load? I don't want to be late for Vancouver.
No. No, of course not.
Well, great. I'll be waiting here for the other trailer, okay?
Yeah, fine. I'll send someone right away.
A little confused, eh, Bradley?
He hung the cell phone on his belt and went around to the back of the trailer where he opened up the doors. After taking the time to rearrange the load yet again, he closed up the trailer and locked it. Then he went to the cab, got his jacket, took his Louisville Slugger from its spot behind his seat, and took a walk into the field next to the coop. When he was far enough away to be out of sight, he sat down and waited. The sun had almost set beneath the western horizon, and the scales had been closed for the night, when a pale blue freight liner bobtailed up the ramp and came to a stop in front of Mark's rig. The pale blue color of the liner was unmistakable, the same one he'd seen outside the motel in Calgary. Mark watched patiently from his vantage point in the field next to the weigh scale, squeezing out the cramps that had formed during the over 2 hours he'd been waiting for someone to arrive. The driver of the freight liner got out of his cab and walked back to Mark's Peterbilt. He climbed up to take a look in the cab, and not finding Mark there, rapped his knuckles on the door. Getting no response there, he headed to the rear of the trailer.
Hello? Hello?
Mark could barely hear him, but said nothing. At last, the man stood at the end of the trailer, looking around as if he thought Mark was off somewhere taking a leak and would be back any minute. The man was over 6 feet tall, probably weighing 220, 230. He wore a big cowboy hat on his head and looked pretty scruffy, like a real cowboy. From the way he carried himself, Mark guessed he was probably good in a fight. And since he'd shown up without a trailer, it didn't seem like he was here to help Mark lighten his load any. Mark guessed he might be able to surprise him, maybe even get in a good whack with his bat. But there was no way he'd be able to wrestle or brawl with the man. He was just too big. Mark decided to remain crouched down and hidden by the brush, biding his time. The cowboy thrust a hand in his pocket and looked to be fishing around for something inside it. Was it a key, Mark wondered? Then he fiddled with the lock at the back of the trailer and undid the lock.
So, he has a key too. Sure makes it easier to unload a trailer that way.
Mark stayed where he was, but got ready to move in a hurry. The man opened up the back of the trailer and swung the right door open. From his body language, Mark could tell that he was surprised by what he saw.
What the hell?
Before Mark had locked up the trailer, he had moved the cinder blocks forward and stacked the back of the trailer with pallets from the front, so when the door was opened, it would look as if it were stacked front to back and floor to ceiling with electronic equipment. The cowboy stood there, staring up into the trailer in dumbfounded amazement.
Strange, huh? You cleaned it out yesterday, and here it is, full again.
The cowboy gave the boxes a slight push to check their weight. Mark was pleased with himself. He had weighed down the bottom three rows with cinder blocks and left the top three empty. Obviously, Cowboy knew something wasn't right here and decided to investigate. Cowboy grabbed hold of the left side of the door and pulled himself up into the back of the trailer. Mark jumped to his feet and bolted from the field, quickly moving across the strip of open ground between the field and the trailer. There was a loud noise from inside the trailer. The man inside had probably given the top boxes a push and had fallen over when they gave way. It was just the break Mark needed. When he got to the trailer, he grabbed the right door and swung it as hard as he could. If it didn't close in time, then it